have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Daniel 11:30-36. Then she says, scenes similar to those described in these words will take place. So, brothers and sisters, she's saying that she points us to Daniel 11 as a chapter that is going to come to a conclusion here at the end of the world, and tells us that there's history in the passages of chapter 11 that have already taken place prior to the writing of this statement, and the pioneers clearly understood that up to verse 39, even the very beginning phrase of verse 40 had been fulfilled before the Millerite movement. And therefore, some of the history that's taken place in the verse 39 verses is going to be repeated, she states. And then she quotes verse 30 to 36, saying, scenes similar to those described in these words will take place. In other words, if there's one history that is the supreme pattern for the final fulfillment of Daniel 11, it would be this history in these verses 30 to 36. And before we look at this history, there is some points that we need to make that have a bearing on this overall presentation. In verse 36, if you read Uriah Smith, this is where he will tell you that the king of verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, that this is not the papacy. He doesn't argue that verses 30 to 35 are describing how the papacy comes to control the world, how pagan Rome declines and papal Rome finally takes its position as the ruler of the earth. He sees these up to verse 45 as the papacy. But in verse 36, he says that this is France during the French Revolution. And we'll look at this and discuss Uriah Smith's position